Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. So appreciative of you listening every Sunday night to the Bible Crossfire radio program. Last week, we were talking about this idea that some people seem to think that we should, talking about our program and perhaps others too, that we should leave off, we should quit preaching on Bible issues like this program does, and we should just emphasize love. We were looking at some passages that show this concept is a false dichotomy, that actually loving God and loving our neighbor doesn't imply that we should leave off preaching on Bible issues, but it actually demands that we continue to press preaching on Bible issues because we love them. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if we love God, if we love Jesus, we're going to keep his words. So loving God or loving Jesus doesn't mean we de-emphasize Bible issues. No, we emphasize keeping Jesus' words. What does he say on these issues? Because if we love him, we're going to keep his words. Now, in a sense, God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. But in the since this passage is talking about, it implies that only those that love God, that keep his words, those are the only ones the Father will love. And that love is in the sense that he will save them. He will come unto him and make our abode with him. So the Father, God, only saves those who keep Jesus' words and that love Jesus in that sense, in the sense they keep his words. So we need to find out what Jesus' words are and make sure that we're following Jesus' words. That's what we mean by Bible issues. What does the Bible say on these particular things? We need to keep Jesus' words. That's how we love Jesus. In Acts 20, verse 26 through 27, we read, Wherefore, I take you to record this day, Paul speaking here, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. So if we really love God, if we really love our fellow man, if we want to be clean from their blood, pure from the blood of all men, we're going to declare all the counsel of God. We're not going to shy away from anything just because people disagree on it. We're going to preach the truth on all the counsel of God. That's because we love him. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That number again is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 6, we read this, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so, it's like a father and son relationship, or a mother son also. We, because we love our children, we chasten them. We discipline them. Same way with God. Because he loves us, he chastens us. And so, we ought to be able to see from that loving someone means we're going to chasten them if they need it. We're going to warn them if they need it. Because we love them, and we want what's best for their soul. So, love does not mean we quit preaching on Bible issues. It means we do preach on Bible issues because we don't want to be people to be lost because they aren't believing and practicing what Jesus said because they've been deceived by some preacher. Somebody deceives them into one thing different from what the Bible says. The Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So the false teacher and the follower of the false teacher will both be lost. Because they're not following God's word. And if we love people, we're going to warn them about that. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So many preachers, all they do is kiss you. But they're really your enemy. The kisses they give you are deceitful. They compliment you. They tell you're okay when you're not okay. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so the friend is going to tell you what you need to hear. Now, it may be a wound. It may hurt. But, you know, we call that tough love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So we're going to tell the truth because we love people. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. And then Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. So iron sharpeneth iron. So we're going to talk about these Bible issues. We're going to find out what God actually says about these issues, and we're going to determine the truth on these issues, and that's really what love is all about. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is about tithes. Say you have a business, and you sell something for $300, and it costs you $100 to make it. Do you pay the tithe off the $300 or the $200?
Well, it looks like to me you would contribute based upon the $200, because that's how much you actually made. You didn't make $300. You had $100 expenses. You sold it for $300. You made $200. So God would expect you to contribute based upon the profit, how much you made. You know, the Old Testament taught... Go ahead. Jim, the Old Testament taught tithing. The New Testament doesn't actually tell us about tithing per se, but just tells us basically to contribute as we've been prospered, generously. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Off the increase, is that right?
Right.
Okay, how about this? If you work at a job, and you work some job, and they pay you $300, they take out taxes, and you get $200. You only pay the tithe off the $200, but when you get your income tax back, shouldn't you be paying tithe off of that, too?
Well, you should contribute based upon the whole thing.
Okay.
Taxes, because the taxes are not really your expenses. The taxes are providing services for you. This is my opinion.
Okay.
So they're more parallel. Okay. You make $300 at your job, and then you should contribute based upon what you make. Then you go out and buy something, some service. Well, the government is providing you services for those taxes. So when I contribute, I contribute off the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. When you get the
The taxes are not like the taxes are not like your expenses. The taxes on that farm situation, the taxes are, we're paying the government for services. Of course, I don't necessarily think they do an efficient job of providing services based upon the taxes they charge, but nonetheless, that's what it is.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I was just wanting to get your opinion. That's what I figure on it, too. But I just figure if you do get income tax back, and if you didn't pay on the whole $300, you should pay it tithe off of the money you get back from the income at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that, Jim.
So it all comes out the same then.
Well, except if you're not going to get all your taxes back.
Yeah, I mean, just on what you get back. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, but Jim, thanks for your call.
Okay.
The number to call is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. We're talking about should preachers quit preaching on Bible issues and just emphasize love. What about this passage that's read by my intro every Sunday night? 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So we have to abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, to have God, to be saved. So if we love somebody, and that somebody is not abiding in the teaching of Christ, wouldn't we want to tell them about the fact how they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ? Show them the Bible verse that proves they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. Because this verse says, as long as they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ, they don't have God. They're not going to be saved. So if we really love their soul, we're going to tell them. Now, we're going to do it in as kind and as gentle as a way as possible, but we're going to tell them that they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ because we want their soul to be saved because we love them. So far, far from love demanding that we don't say anything, about Bible issues, love then demands that we preach on these Bible issues and point out where people are not abiding in the teaching of Christ. Because if they don't correct that, they don't have God, they're not going to be saved. And then if we read verses 10 and 11, it says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." So now, this is supposing that we're abiding in the teaching of Christ, but somebody else is not abiding in the teaching of Christ. This says we're not to bid him Godspeed. He's not abiding in the teaching of Christ. We're not to go along with his sin or help him in his sin. We need to tell him that he's in sin, assuming we have our life right. Of course, we don't want to be a hypocrite and be correcting people when our life is not right, but assuming we have our life right, we need to correct him, else we'll become a partaker in his evil deeds. That's because we love him. It's not love verse teaching against false doctrine. It's love implies, demands that we teach against false doctrine, not just ignore it and let it go. That's the last thing we want to do. If somebody had cancer and we knew what the cure for it was, the last thing we'd want to do is not tell them the fact that they had cancer or the fact they need to take the cure. If we love them, we're going to say, please take this cure. Please correct yourself. That's because we love them, not because we don't love them. They may get upset with us. We're still doing it because we love them. James 5, 19 through 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So here's a brother that errs from the truth, a Christian. He's our brother in Christ, he errs from the truth. This verse says if we're able to convert him, we're going to save his soul from death. Which means if we don't try to convert him, that means we're not concerned for his soul. We're just going to let his soul die. We're going to let him be lost. You call that love? Just to let a brother who errs from the truth, just to let him be lost? Eternal condemnation? That's not love. If we love him, we're going to preach on the issues. We're going to point out to him where he's erred, where he's gone different from what the Bible says. We're going to try to convert him back because we love him. Again, what we see is in the Bible, love doesn't say, don't say anything about people, what people are doing that are wrong. Love says we point out that what they're doing is wrong if it's different from what the Bible says. That love demands that. We love their soul. We're going to try to save them. We're going to try to help them. We're going to try to preach the truth to them. We're going to try to correct their religious errors. Inga from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, my question is, how do you help a person who's LGBTQ when we know God said he made Adam and Eve and made it that man and woman be together? Where do you find in the Bible to help the person understand that that's not what God said, to have man with man and woman with woman, but that he made it that man and woman be together?
Well, there are a number of passages, Inga, that help us to see that homosexuality is wrong. A bunch of them. Old Testament and New Testament. I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I guess this would be from the New King James Version. I'm going to read it there because it helps, I think, to understand it from the New King James Version. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 reads this way. Inga, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Verses 9 through 11 in Corinthians.
Yes, it says. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So the first thing I'm going to do, Inga, is in as kind and as gentle way as I can, I'm going to read to him a verse like this and say, homosexuals and sodomites, this verse says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to be saved. So I would try to tell the homosexual that unless they repent, they're not going to be saved. But they can, if they repent, they can be saved. They can be forgiven if they're willing to repent. The Bible always requires repentance to be saved. So we got to first try to get them to see that what they're doing violates God's word and they need to repent in order to be saved. You follow what I'm saying, Inga?
Yes, and again, that was what in 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians chapter 6, I read 9 and 10. Now let me read verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So we read a list of sins, Inga, in verses 9 and 10. Included in that were adulterers, homosexuals. And this verse in verse 11 says, such were some of you. What this proves is that these Christians he's writing to, Inga, in 1 Corinthians 6, some of them had been homosexuals before they were converted. But they had changed. It says, such were some of you, past tense. So they had been homosexuals, but they had, when they were converted, they had repented of their sins, they had changed, and they weren't homosexuals anymore. You see, so a homosexual can quit being a homosexual, and he can be saved.
Okay, and see, can I have one more question, please?
Yes. Go ahead, Inga.
Okay. This Thursday, the reason why I ask, they're asking us to wear purple at work to support the LGBTQ team. And, you know, I don't support bullying. I don't support bullying, and then I'm not supporting indecent lifestyle under the Lord. So I'm not sure, should I allow myself to wear purple to support the fact that I don't wear bullying? Am I going to say that I support the LGBT team?
No, you should not. If the wearing of purple is to support the gays, do not wear purple. The verse we read to the last, just before we were talking to you, 2 John, is talking about people not abiding in the teaching of Christ. It says, if they're coming to you not abiding the teaching of Christ, it says, do not bid them Godspeed, because if you do, you become a partaker in their evil deeds. 2 John 1:10-11. So by wearing that purple, you would be bidding them Godspeed and become a partaker in their evil deeds. Don't do that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, because I know we're at the end times. We have to prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord, and I don't want to miss heaven for no one. So I do thank you for your time.
Hey, Inga, would you possibly, perhaps we could do I could set you up with having a Bible study in your area. Would that be something that would interest you? A Bible study?
Yes, I do like Bible study. I like Bible study.
Okay, I think I have your the caller ID. I have your telephone number. So I'm going to try to get a hold of you later, and we'll set up a Bible study in your area. Okay, Inga?
That sounds great. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for your call.
All right. God bless you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So 2 John verses 9 through 11 is basically saying not only are we not, we must abide in the teaching of Christ ourselves, but we cannot bid Godspeed to others who are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, else we become a partaker in their evil deeds. It might be that you're like Inga, and you would like to have a Bible study, like a face-to-face Bible study, in your area with a person like me. I'd be glad to try to set you up with something like that. Send me an email. My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email if you'd like to have such a Bible study in your area. We'd be glad to try to facilitate that. Bill in San Antonio, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I've really been praying for you lately. I've listened to you for 2-3 months now, and you've really been on my heart and mind. And I pray the day will come when you truly understand that God will teach you to be saved by grace through faith. And all the works that you talk about, that the Bible talks about, there's just as many verses that talk about being saved by grace. And I love being saved by the grace of God, and I'm not worried about my acts of whatever it is that I do. I'm just thankful that I'm saved by the grace of God. I pray the day of when you will as well. And I mean it with all my heart, my friend. Thank you.
Bill, you're saying, okay. Bill, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally cut him off. So Bill is saying that since he's saved by grace, he doesn't worry about what he does. You see, that's exactly what we're talking about. Of course we're saved by grace. But saved by grace doesn't mean we're not concerned about what we do. No, knowing that we're saved by grace, that means we're going to be very concerned about what we do. We're going to be so appreciative that God saves us that we're going to want to obey Him. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God..." We're talking about the grace of God. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So grace, the grace of God, teaches us something. That we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What Bill is saying is that basically grace is a license to sin. That we've got the grace of God, and therefore he says he doesn't need to worry about what he's doing. And that's exactly what most preachers are preaching these days. You don't need to worry about what you're doing because you got grace. But the Bible teaches the very opposite of that. Grace does not mean that we don't need to be worried about what we're doing. It doesn't mean that at all. Romans 6 verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." That's the Bible answer to that doctrine. God forbid. We shouldn't continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. No. Grace, the fact that God gives us His grace and forgives us of our sins based upon the death of Christ, that doesn't mean we don't have to worry about what we do. No, it means that we need to be extra careful about what we do. Because we have so much appreciation for what Jesus did for us on the cross, His death. We love and respect Him so much that we're going to pay extra careful attention to His Word. After all, when you were growing up, when you didn't pay attention to what your parents told you to do, that was showing disrespect. And so when we don't pay attention to what God told us to do, when we're not worried about what we do, that shows a complete disrespect for God, and that's just trampling upon the grace of God. God forbid, what a terrible doctrine. So alien to the Word of God. The Bible teaches, yes, we're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It also says in James 2, 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Ephesians 2 is discussing the basis of our salvation. That's the death of Christ. You can't earn it, no matter how many good works you do. James 2 is saying that free salvation provided for by the death of Christ is conditional. We must obey God in order to receive the salvation provided for by the death of Christ. Hebrews 5, 9 makes this clear. Talking about Jesus, it says, "He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." So it's not enough just to believe. We have to obey Him to receive eternal salvation. He became the author of eternal salvation, the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. That's clear. Hebrews 5, 9. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We're talking about the fact how some people teach that we should leave off preaching on Bible issues and just emphasize love. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 6 read this way. "Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." So what love really does, instead of ignoring the truth, love is going to rejoice in the truth, emphasize the truth, preach the truth, point out doctrinal error, because that's not the truth. John 8:32 says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So if you really love somebody, you're going to point out their doctrinal error so that they can correct that, go over to the side of truth so that the truth will set them free from sin. And if they're just not caring about what they're doing, like Bill was talking about, they're not going to be saved because they're not following the truth. Only the truth will set them free from sin. Now, what are they set free from sin by? By the death of Christ, by the grace of God. But the grace of God is only going to save those who are following the truth. John 8:32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So anything less than the truth won't make you free from sin. You know, we have a good example of a person who was religious and close to the truth, but off from the truth. That's Apollos in Acts 18. Let me read Acts 18, 24 through 26. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Apollos was corrected. He went on to preach the truth after that. He was religious, but he was knowing only the baptism of John. And so Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard that, they took him unto him and corrected him. They expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. That's what this program is all about. Telling the truth. People who are religious, but they're off. They're like Apollos. And so we gently and kindly show them the way of God more perfectly. That's what loving them means. Loving them doesn't mean just let them be lost in their sin. Loving them means to correct them doctrinally or morally, whatever the case may be, so that they can be saved. That's love. Again, if you want to study the Bible, face-to-face or over email, send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.